You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
It's closing time. One last call for suicide tonight. Hey, what's up, guys?
Don't you forget about... Oh, wait. I thought we're doing two side panels. Never mind. Go ahead.
So we are reviewing Last Call, an independent film that is not an upper. It's a real, real downer. So before we get into this, I am Davey, and with me is Doggett.
Doggett.
Yeah. Luane.
Hey, how's it going?
And Adrian.
Yeah, hello. Surprisingly enough, not a horror film, and me and Luane are both here.
I mean, it may not be a horror film, but it is somewhat horrifying in its own way. So, Last Call is written and directed by Gavin Michael Booth and co-written by David Wilkins, and it stars David Wilkins as a man named Scott. He's been through some shit. He's at a bar. He's just having a really fucked up day, y'all. And he calls this young woman, Beth, played by Sarah Booth, because he thinks the phone number is for a suicide hotline. And it's not. It is just a career center that she is working the night shift at cleaning up. And the two of them, over the course of about an hour, 15 minutes, start to get to talking, and it slowly turns into this basically last call for this man, Scott, as he bears his life story and starts to inch closer and closer to taking his own life. The gimmick with the film is that it is shot entirely in two long takes, one for each of them, that goes throughout the entire movie, and the entire film is in split screen. Usually the two panels side by side, but occasionally at the top and bottom, which is dumb, and no movie should ever do that ever again.
That's right, listeners. If you try hard enough, you too can go cross-eyed watching this movie.
So, I think Doggett might be betraying himself a little bit, but what did you guys think of this?
I think you guys saw... At least I think Doggett saw a different film. Or maybe it's just me that I just, like... There was nothing difficult about this. I didn't go cross-eyed. I didn't even think the switching up of the aspect ratios was like jarring in any way. I feel like if anything, this is clearly trying to be more so a art film, and that was just kind of adding to that. Whether it works or not, I'm not sure, but I definitely didn't mind it. This is a drama. This is a sad drama, and overall, the message of it is kind of just to talk to someone. Yeah, just to connect, just to kind of have humanity for someone that you have no idea who this is, but you can try to empathize with what they're going through. Now, in terms of whether or not that makes a good movie, I think it makes an interesting one. But I will leave the floor open to you guys.
It's experimental. I mean, I think that's fairly obvious using the split screen and the individual single takes. And I don't know which came first, whether the director was like, hey, I want to make a movie like this, or if they had the idea for the narrative and then realized, hey, we can do it this way. Because it, in doing the two singular takes running parallel to each other, one of the things it does is maintain the narrative without cuts. So it doesn't go back and forth. It is just these two people interacting with each other the entire time. I mean, there are times where their calls are the call is disconnected, and you could maybe stick a cut in there if you really wanted to. But I'm gonna take a more positive perspective in that this was intentional and by design, and not just I'm gonna do something weird.
It's certainly a minimalist film, and by that I mean there's a shitload of padding throughout this entire movie. I think if we took away all the shots of them just walking in silence, I think we would have a 50-minute movie.
Sure, but that's part of the narrative element of it as well. In order to do... I get what you mean, but I think that the not having cuts is actually an artistic choice in terms of telling the story. Maybe I'm wrong, but from my perspective, first of all, I wouldn't want to tackle this. Like, yeah. As a filmmaker, I wouldn't want to try and do this. And so for me, I think the fact that they put this much effort into it was that it was intentional as a part of the narrative, and not I just want to do something weird so that people start talking about my movie.
And even the way it's filmed, if you just kind of put that to the side, I would say that it's a very well-acted movie, especially from one of the leads, Sarah Booth, playing Beth.
Sarah Booth.
She was fantastic. There's never a point where I thought these are two actors. It was more so it feels like you're kind of just watching this scenario happen to a real person, and she definitely reacted, I feel, the same way a real person would react in a situation like this. Like, I can only imagine what I would do, and I'm sure she did something similar to what I pictured.
Yeah, Doggett, do you want to just go off for like 2 minutes about how much you don't like this?
Well, let's not be hasty. I'm not saying I despise this movie. I'm not saying I was bored for 90 minutes. I'm not saying that I turned this... I watched this in 20-minute increments in which I had to pause it and do something else so I wouldn't die of boredom. I'm not saying any of that, guys.
It's very specific you're not saying.
I am saying none of these things. I am just saying... this movie has a good message. A good message does not always make a good movie. A good message can make a very good commercial for a suicide awareness. And this is that stretched out to 90 minutes.
I mean, I'm definitely closer with Adrian and Luane on this. I do think you're being a little harsh, but I get what you're saying, and I don't even think you're totally wrong. I mean, the core of this movie is just... the entire movie is just watching this kind of horrible thing kind of happen to this young woman, being forced to attempt to talk this guy off of the ledge. And to echo what you guys said, as someone who has been on those phone calls before, been in her position a lot, actually, yeah, she does a very good job, and he does a very good job as well. The two of them perform the material properly. But there's something about it that is so bleak and upsetting, almost gleefully so, I felt, where it's like, yeah, we're doing this thing and it's going to be serious. And if you don't vibe with the seriousness of it and like the importance, quote unquote, then there's no reason, then there's nothing for you here in this movie. And
well, fine, I'm going to take my ball and go home then.
I'm kind of agreeing with you.
See, I think if... it is a very bleak film, but I feel that it went the direction that an indie film would go and not the direction that a studio film would go. I can kind of see, like, two different outcomes to what this movie could have ended up like. And I'm not against the path that they chose. It's not a fun watch. This is definitely something you need to watch if you want a sad drama. But sometimes there's perfect weather, it's rainy outside, and it's kind of cool to watch a sad drama. And I feel like this one, it really does work more so than it doesn't. I didn't feel the padding. I didn't feel too upset from watching it. But maybe, I don't know, that might just be me. But I have seen movies like this. There was one, I forgot the name of it. It's like the name of a woman is the title of the movie. But that's like about a bank robbery. There's been stuff like Birdman. And this is just kind of like another entry in that, like, slice of life, all in one take series. But this is the one that you watch if you want something sad, I guess.
And there's not like the take away any kind of like story plot you can think of, because this is very much two people having a conversation and pretty much it.
Well, you could stage this, like, literally on stage.
Yeah.
You just have a split stage.
It feels like it could be a play.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. But, I mean, the padding that you're referring to, a lot of the movement action, if you trim that out for the stage, because you're not going to have the space unless you construct this. Well, I mean, you could. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be staging this, so it doesn't matter how you would do it. But like I said before we started talking earlier, though, one of the things that you refer to as padding is, it's in the beginning, it's literally the two of them basically walking along together, but not together. So I get that. That's literally, I'm just watching two people walk. But in various parts in the film, there are spaces where there's not a lot going on in one track and the other one has the action. And then it may make a transition back and forth between the two. So that ideally you're not spending the whole time either watching two tracks where nothing is happening or trying to keep track of both tracks where there's action and going cross-eyed. I mean, most of the action realistically happens on the Sarah Booth side, right? Because she's constantly in motion pretty much through the whole thing. I mean, even when she's on the phone, she's in motion because she uses a headset. So,
oh, come on, give the guy some credit. He was moving around too. He was moving his arm up and down.
Well, and he was mixing his drinks, and you get some bartending lessons from him, so that's kind of cool, if nothing else.
If I could just add, like, one genuine flaw that I do have with this film...
One?
...is the choice of soundtrack. I think it was a little too score in the can, and a little too... just way too melodramatic for what was going on. Everything that you see between the two characters, like, Sarah Booth is really acting her ass off. You don't need the music added to that to get emotion out of it. Now, this isn't a movie that made me cry, but I did feel different things while watching it. And I feel like the score really hindered that at times. It felt almost cartoony in how kind of sad it sounded.
I think you almost could eliminate the score because you're trying to focus on the action. And so that, I think any music is going to sort of interfere with that. It's just, if it's even more obvious when it doesn't feel like it fits.
Yeah. This is already not for your everyday audience. So I feel like might as well just get rid of the score while you're at it. Like, it's not going to, the people who are going to want to seek this movie out are not going to mind.
Yeah. Because of how strong the actors are, the score does undercut everything, because you already know from them that the scene, whatever is happening in the scene, is important or is tense or is sad.
Exactly.
But the second you add the score that they have to it, is like, well, now you're just trying to force the scene.
Yeah, I do feel it, that.
Yeah, honestly, when I was listening to some of the score pieces in the movie, I would think of it and go, yeah, if this was like 4 years earlier and I was making this movie, I would definitely put, like, this exact track in here and be like, oh, it's so serious, it's so sad. It sounded a lot like some of the scores to some of the films I made in high school. Like, it's so much, and I'm not even just being mean. It definitely betrays a lot of the naturalistic feel of what the movie is trying to do, because it feels very, almost too genuinely real.
Absolutely.
Who was the director of all this?
Gavin Michael Booth, who...
I can't say I've seen anything. I was looking him up on IMDb, but looks like he made some horror films, so I might have to check some of them out.
Dude, we may have to check those out, yeah. I'd like to see something else by this director and his team. I'd be curious to see what they're doing when they're doing, like, a straight narrative of some kind. I can't imagine it's all gimmick. And I would argue that it's not all gimmick with this movie anyway. But I'd be curious to see what they would do with just a straight-up film, too.
Who did you guys think was the better actor? Come on, choose one. Choose one.
I mean, if we have to choose one... No, I don't want to do that. I don't think they're, like, one actor is way better than the other one. But I thought Sarah Booth really carried the film. No,
you
are the Joker right now.
You have a pool stick. You brick in the floor. there's only room for one. You got to choose.
I thought Sarah Booth did a fantastic job in this film. And I would like to see more from her, to be honest.
Yes.
Based off her performance in this.
You hear that, male actor? Kick rocks.
But he did a great job, too, and I would like to see more of him. He also was good. Also.
You carry the emotional weight of the movie, and we prefer the woman.
They both carried the emotional weight. There's a lot of emotions going on here. Fuck off, Doggett.
He's got a downplay, you know? I mean,
yeah.
he's got to carry the emotional weight of that character, but he doesn't get to go... He doesn't have action to help burn it off. He doesn't have. I mean, he has to actually diminish in his sort of energy the further along he goes. He's clearly not a loud, annoying drunk.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's the opposite, and so he's got to keep reeling it back in. And yeah.
He's a good tipper. He was immediately endeared to me.
Well, that's true. You don't want to see him go just for that reason.
Yeah, and that reason alone, because Doggett doesn't have feelings.
I'm just saying, you know at the beginning of the movie he's an alcoholic because he bought a bottle at the bar.
He negotiated for a bottle at the bar. Yeah, he's going
to
drink.
And he was alone, so it wasn't like he was trying to do some ball of shit. It was just clearly something very sad.
I don't want to make another stop.
Seriously? Because this is like 70% water. You sure you want this? Like, nah. I'll siphon it out.
Yeah, this is not a subtle film in any capacity. But the problem is there's not really a whole lot to say about it because it is so short and so minimalistic. So let's just go ahead and head off into our final thoughts. Adrian.
Yeah, so this movie, it is going to be for a niche audience. If you like that one take, well, in this case, two takes, type gimmick, I think this film works very well. It is a drama and it's a sad one and you gotta kind of prepare yourself for that. Now you might be thinking, why would I want to watch something like that? Well, sometimes it's good to just kind of see what other people are feeling and thinking. And that seems to be the overall message of the movie. Some really great performances, some pretty good cinematography. It all looked pretty, albeit how drab it was. But, man, the score really doesn't have to be here. And I hate saying that because I'm sure someone really liked making this music, but it just didn't fit well. Overall, I'm glad I saw it. And if it gets to streaming anywhere, I would say check it out. I'm going to give this 3.5 Manhattans out of 5, which you probably shouldn't drink while watching it.
No, do not drink at all while watching this, Jesus. Wayne?
Screw the music. They probably bought it from GarageBand or something.
No, there's actually notes about it on IMDb. It was actually constructed along with the movie.
Well, damn.
So it was an intentional choice.
Davey, how could you? I was trying to give this movie an out. Sorry.
It wasn't me. I didn't make it.
No, it was me. I'm the one ruining everything, yeah.
Luane, your thoughts?
I feel weird saying that I, you know, like I like this movie or I love this movie or whatever, because it's not a movie that I'm going to want to revisit. Because it is sort of bleak watching these performances. But it looks good. It the performances are amazing. I would not want to try and undergo a project like this. I wouldn't want to try and do one movie that's all one long take, let alone technically two. So I admire the craft that they put into making this movie. And I genuinely would like to see other stuff from this director and ideally with this cast to see what else they can do. For me, this is 4 out of 5 crisis helplines that I've been posting every night since 2016.
Oh, fuck. Right. You guys are really going to make me the bad guy. Okay.
Yep. So go, Doggett.
Dude, that's what you're here for, right?
Well, this review is going to send me to hell. But anyways, maybe it just comes down to the person. Maybe I don't want to realistically see how I'm going to go out in life. So maybe I was turned off by the movie.
Oh, poor Doggett.
You know. I'm just okay. I don't drink. But
that's not the part we're worried about.
Oh, man. I did not have a good time watching this movie, and I understand. I actually watch a lot of sad movies because I enjoy feeling emotions. It just happens. The emotions this movie took out of me, I don't know, maybe I just didn't receive them well or whatnot. Maybe I wasn't in the mood for this type of movie. I can't put my finger on it. I do respect what everybody's saying about it. But I would honestly say I could not show this to anybody I know. I probably would not watch this again. And you guys saw a lot of things in the filmmaking of it. Honestly, I didn't really see that much that interested me. I'll just watch that Daredevil fight scene over and over again or something. I don't know. But for what it is, I will give this 5 out of 10 different mixed drinks this guy makes throughout the course of this movie.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of in between all y'all. I see this movie in two ways. As a viewer, I go, oh, that's kind of cute. Like, that's a clever gimmick. Topic matter is way too serious to do any kind of gimmick like this. And it all feels, while extremely real, a little too blunt and a little too almost callous in how it doesn't seem to have any reservations in talking about a lot of really serious and really dark stuff. And I get that that's good, and that's definitely a lot of my personal baggage coming into it. As I mentioned, I've been on those phone calls before, like talking people down. It fucking sucks. And there is a part of me that just doesn't want to relive that. So the sadness and a little bit of the, like, visceral anger that I felt watching this is probably exactly what the filmmakers would want. And to that, I commend you guys. Like, you did what you were looking for, and you made something that is powerful and that does, at least to me, use its space well and made me feel a bunch of emotions, which there are much better films that made me feel far less than this did. But as a young filmmaker, everything about this movie, I was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do that so badly, which I don't know if that's a commendation or condemnation of the film. But I see the long takes and the acting and even the music, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I would have made this. So you get to decide if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. I had a very visceral reaction to this movie. So I'm going to stop talking and give this 6 out of 10 wireless headsets.
I got to admit, I was pretty ashamed of myself because in the beginning of this movie, the bartender said, okay, guys, time to leave now. And I said, oh, that's why it's called Last Call. Little did I know.
I mean, well, that's definitely kind of part of it, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Also, because I was looking on the IMDb trivia when Luane mentioned that, and the first piece of trivia for this very bleak movie says, the character who played the suicidal man was the lead in the Doritos Time Machine commercial. And I found that really funny and wanted to share it with you all.
It all makes sense.
So go look up that commercial and stay tuned for our review on that.
Yeah, coming next week from oneofus.net.